CliffCentral.com.
All right. Yeah, thank you very much. It's the Wednesday just before Christmas. It's our last show. Sia and I were both saying just before we started this that it feels like the last day of school. You know how excited you were as a kid on that last day of school? Oh, man. This is it. This is that feeling. That's how I feel right now. I love it. I love it.
And then you'd often get that scam of Civvies Day on the last day of school.
Oh, did you do Civvies Day on the last day? We had, I can't even remember what the occasion was for Civvies Day. I think it had something to do with, like, World Environment Day or some shit like that.
It's still a scam. First, you had to pay to wear your own clothes.
Oh, yeah. So the school could raise
funds. $5 is a lot of money back then.
Of course. Your parents are like, oh, for God's sake, more money. Your school want more money? You remember that? Oh, man.
I don't think there was ever a parent who didn't rightfully complain about things like that.
They still
are.
A cake
sale, you had to buy something. Yes.
Yeah, they still are. I tell you what, parents deserve. There's a big fuck-off, huge golden medal waiting for every parent who's done their job properly. Even for those who didn't. Even they get a medal.
Nonsense money, I say.
No. I mean, what is up with these schools thinking that they, you know, we made of money? I'm not even a parent and I'm complaining.
Yes. And you're giving very parent-y answers as well, one-liners.
No. So what's happening, Sia?
Well,
how are you feeling? How are you feeling at the end of this year? I mean, are you glad it's over, or are you quite excited for a little bit of a holiday, but not you're not miserable about it at all? Because I met some people yesterday. I did my last bit of Christmas shopping. I had a lunch appointment. I did something fun. By the way, Gord is going to join us in a minute or two, so stick around for that. Gord Laws.
What did you do?
I had a nose wax. So much fun. I mean, I don't even know why I'm bothering to share this with you, but this is...
It seems superficial. It seems unnecessary.
Yeah.
Up until you've done it,
then you
feel like, whoa.
Right. And you're like, why haven't I done this every single week of my life? Because it's the best feeling in the world.
Yes.
I mean, so I don't know if you've ever done this before, but let me explain to the guys who haven't. And what you do is you go, I mean, I went to Sorbet Man. I'm not afraid to say it because they're a client of ours, and we did some stuff with them earlier in the year. And that's actually where I decided I'm going to do this. So what happens is that you go and you sit in the chair. They're very professional. They're very, like, COVID professional. I mean, you know, you wash your hands and you sit down in the chair, and they take an alcohol swab and they kind of swab your nose. And then they take this wax, which is, I mean, you think it's really hot, but it's not. It's probably like the temperature of warm water, really. But it's all melted.
Do they do yours with, like, an ice cream stick?
Yeah, exactly. And it's all melted, and what happens is that when it cools, it hardens, but to a really, really thick consistency. So it's going to pull anything. It's going to attach itself to the hairs inside your nose and pull them out. And my God, it's both the grossest thing in the world, because you think, how did I have all that hair in my nose? It's so disgusting. And then you also think, wow, this feels good. I can breathe properly, and I don't have any of that itchiness. And, you know, because I hate having hair in my nose. I've tried those nose hair trimmers.
Glad I arrived at the time that I did.
Dude,
I
went for a nose hair trim yesterday. It was the best thing I've done. Oh, I had fun. It was so good. I walked out of there feeling like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
You were about to get fucked by a rich man for a small quantity of money. I'm ready to get it for money now. I feel like Julian Roberts.
How are you, Gordo?
Yeah, I mean, I could be sleeping, but other than that,
please.
Good.
It's the last show.
Gordo, it's the last one. Last you show. Can't be
Stop
complaining.
Stop fucking moaning.
Huge moan. Look at me. Moan, moan, moan. Here I am.
How are you doing?
Present and accounted for.
What's happening?
Oh, not a whole lot, man. I'm, like, unable to enjoy the fact that I'm on leave because it wasn't voluntary. Like, I'd rather be working. It would be so good. But yeah, given that there is the month of Rectember, and Rectember is a short month, the 13th month of the year that takes place from the 23rd of December until the 3rd of January. And like, you know, there's, aside from killing, hurting, and violating the personal space of other people, there is no law in Rectember. There's no rules. There's no law. If you want to do it, it's 12 days long, and you want to do 12 days of cocaine, you can. You just have to be back up and running and like ready for life and not permanently damaged by the time the 1st of January. And then to make up for a short month, January is 9 weeks long. So,
wow.
Yeah, it always does feel that way, hey, Jan.
Yeah.
January. It's because
it feels long compared to the very short month of Rectember that you just had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you, I suppose this is, are you a big Christmas dude? I don't think we've ever really discussed this.
I did it with my, you know, as you guys, I've mentioned to you guys, I've got two brothers that each got a life for two kids and everyone gets together and does family stuff. So, I did Christmas with both of my brothers, their wives and their four kids on last weekend, I think, last weekend. And it was very nice. Yeah. Cause they all went away and they went to different places. It was two different families. So, yeah, we did, I think, I want to say the 13th, the 17th, the 17th or the 13th, we did family Christmas.
Doesn't it feel massively premature? I mean, don't you?
No, you see, Christmas for me is entirely about, so I'm just trying to put my phone on silent. I don't know why it's not already. I thought I did this. Yeah. But
Look at you all busy getting messages so early in the morning.
No, I've got a habit of putting my phone on silent. Obviously, buggered it up this time. But for me, Christmas is about family. Like, the religious aspect's total bullshit. The fat whitehead oak that Coca-Cola invented is total bullshit.
Right.
The only thing important about it for me is the family, is kids and stuff. Like, so if my whole family's away, I'll do Christmas by myself. I might. It's not sad. It's like I also don't celebrate Eid or Yom Kippur.
Just tell me quickly, is it true that Father Christmas was invented by Coca-Cola because the colors are the same as Coca-Cola, and before that?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't want to now get fake news.
Are you not going to Christopher Robbins us now?
Well, that story was still entirely true. And this one guy emailed that it wasn't. But anyway, so St. Nick, I think Sinterklaas or St. Nicholas was a German or Swiss-German old oak that used to make toys for the community, poor kids, and give it to them on Christmas.
No, you're wrong about that one. So,
am I wrong? No, okay, but there was an old Nicholas, guy that was sainted. Am I right?
But St. Nicholas was actually a Christian activist at the Council of Nicaea who got very uppity with one of the people who was saying some stuff that he didn't like and just punched him in the face. I mean, he wasn't always good, but he did also make children's toys, and he did, that stuff is partly true.
Was he Swiss German?
Well,
German?
If they found him in Nicaea in the Byzantine Empire, I don't know. He could have been he could have been from anywhere. I'm not sure.
That they had this sainted guy who existed and did, you know, gave nice kids children or gave poor kids presents rather.
Yes.
And so then they just like, well, cool. Well, there's this guy, this sort of like legendary guy that was a nice oak on Christmas. And then they manufactured the rest of Santa Claus it was a Coca-Cola campaign, drink Coke at Christmas, like in the 40s or something.
So this is even per CocaColaCompany.com, their official website.
Since you did the Christopher Robin thing, I have Sia on permanent fact check mode, Gord. So
we need sure to confirm that I'm right when I tell the story.
Gord isn't 100% wrong, but he's not 0% right.
I said I wasn't 100% right at the beginning before I said anything.
It's okay. Don't worry, Gord. So, I've been fact-checked a million times.
Don't start your shit.
So Coca-Cola did not create the legend of Santa Claus, but Coca-Cola advertising did play a big role in shaping the jolly character we know of today.
Right.
So before 1931, there were different depictions of Santa Claus around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But after 1931, when they commissioned an illustrator to paint Santa, they depicted Santa as this warm, happy character with human features, rosy cheeks, a white beard, twinkling eyes, and laughter lines.
What were the features before?
I don't know.
Part bat, part tiger. So that was my point, was that he existed before, but Coca-Cola made him a fat, red suited, bearded white guy.
Yeah.
And that particular character that has been worshipped through Christmas for the last 90 years has replaced
religion. And then further to your point, Coca-Cola commissioned an illustrator who was inspired by a poem called A Visit from St. Nicholas, commonly known as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. So you were also right there.
Oh, shit. Okay. I was extra right.
Bulelo is sending me a message. He said he was a Greek guy. Come on, the story's famous if you read any book at all. So you see, we're both, all three of us are coming across as complete morons to Bulelo, but I'm not surprised about that.
I think that's the other 8 billion odd people on earth also.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so since, Christmas for me is like a family thing. It's about if there's kids involved. If you're in a relationship and you go away somewhere, you know, it's like a romantic opportunity. But like, I really don't mind spending a weekend doing what I do every weekend, but it's Christmas. I'll probably like, I've got a friend who's in town, and we're going to spend, a bit of time together, and probably I'll make some food or something. But like, Christmas is done for me because I gave my nieces their presents. It was nice. It was lovely. It was just a week and a half before everybody else.
That sounds good though. Dude, I love all the Christmas stuff. I'm also not like massively into the religious element of it, but I can completely understand it, and I'm glad for it because it adds a dimension to it for some people that doesn't have for me. I love it, man. It's just such a happy time of year. It really is my favorite thing in the calendar.
Yeah. I think if you're going to do it as well, do it like 100% properly. You know, that's why like I go to, we'll go to my mom's if my brother's, both if all of us are able to converge on one place, or do it at one of their houses, and like it's about there being 7 or 8, 10 people and a massive lunch and presents and joke presents. It's about like just that day, the festive season. I can live without that. That big family jaw is important, and I've done it. So for me, Christmas literally feels like it's already happened. But I know that for some people, it's a thing, dude. I don't know if I posted on the internet. I'm on the internet so much less these days, but I got sent a clip of a dude who's
on
done,
the internet. Yes, I sound a little old.
Well, the internet's still called the internet.
I only go on the internet when I have to.
Yes, I don't go very often onto the internet, but when I do, I use my Safari, and I saw this magical video clip on my phone.
Yes, tell me about it.
This dude had his house Christmas decorated, but the sparkly lights made like an evil face, and it could animate. So he played For Whom the Bell Tolls by Metallica. And his whole house lights up, and then and then this face starts to sing the words. I'm like, I would invest in that shit.
That sounds great.
So cool. Yeah. Look up For Whom the Bell Tolls Metallica Christmas house decoration on
Google.
But you go big, dude. You deck the halls with actual boughs of holly, don't you?
Oh, I love it. I love it so much, man.
What's on the menu this year?
You mean what food-wise? We discussed this yesterday, but let me give you the brief, the executive summary. So
this is what you're making, right?
I don't make shit because I can't. I'm a useless cook, so it has nothing to do with me, thank goodness. And for everyone else, that's probably a health concern, so I'm glad that I don't. But we do the whole cold Christmas lunch on Christmas Day, and then on Christmas Eve there's in fact, we make the food for Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day is more or less just leftovers, but a substantial amount of leftovers. So my mother likes to do turkey and ham. My dad does a gammon. There's beetroot. There's asparagus.
There's nothing better than when you get that prime backgammon. And it's like very fun to cook. I'll just shut up.
Are you big on Christmas food?
I do like it, but this year, like I just avoided all the carby things. I'm a big roast potato rice with gravy guy, as you can probably assume. This is not like an excess of nachos causing these problems. So I had like the toad and not the whole. the bird. We in my family have kind of always unanimously agreed. Kind of growing up, we were always a bit sort of, not pissed off because we had lovely Christmases, but always a bit sort of like different because everyone else had turkey. And like, I almost never experienced turkey until I realized why. Turkey is just a big, dry, gnarled chicken made of fucking barbed wire.
That's exactly the point, right?
It's very hard to cook correctly. Like, you can cook it correctly, but it's like a lot of things where you can cook it correctly, but it's really hard. And if you screw it up a centimeter on either side, it's poked. So we would always do like two or three, depending on the size of the gathering, chickens, each stuffed differently. And my mom has like two or three Christmas stuffings. And that's literally my favorite thing about Christmas. My mom's bread, sage, and onion stuffing in the one chicken. There's other things in the other chickens that are nice too, sausage-based stuffing and stuff. But like, I dig dismantling the three chickens and a little bit of each pile of gravy and tatoes. So this was nice. It just didn't involve any gravy or tatoes. I prefer my current eating system to gravy and tatoes. So I wasn't it wasn't shit or anything. But like, the meal's a big part of it. And we did it early, so there's nothing left to look forward to me except a quiet weekend.
I'm just worried because the extended family, one or two people have found that they are COVID positive, and there may be a bit of a spanner in the works for Christmas Day. Doesn't affect Christmas Eve.
Is that
so?
Like when you're like, COVID's going to be fine, everyone just do your part?
I don't know. What? I don't know. These
COVID positive.
These people are taking it very seriously, though. They did the test, and you know, like, I could care less, but you know, there's some people who are very genuinely concerned about this. So it could even fuck with Christmas, which I would be so angry about. What can
are
you do?
Are you sure that if they tested COVID positive, it's probably good that they're not coming. I don't think they're being namby-pamby about actual COVID.
No. I just, it's such a ball ache. Really, it's just such a ball ache. Well, because, I mean, it throws a spanner in the works. Like, I'm just thinking of myself. I'm not thinking about them. And my selfish point of view is like, oh, God, now this is going to ruin Christmas for everybody because these assholes are nervous about COVID.
You know, what matters to you, it really does matter, and sometimes you just have to make those selfish decisions. A couple of days ago, my sister was exasperated with this whole Christmas thing, going, you know what? Actually, I think maybe it's time we all set up Christmas ourselves in our own homes. I'm like, no, you guys at least have kids. You can amuse yourselves. You have, you know, boyfriends and stuff. I'm all alone. I need you guys.
Yeah, you need them.
So I said, no.
They mustn't ruin Christmas for you. How dare they? What a cheek.
Oh, I get it. You know what, Gareth? I get your selfish decision. Yeah. Do it.
Janita has commented, Gord is giving me serious Uncle Eddie vibes. Just needs a can of beer and go, morning, shitter was full.
I love it. Don't you love that fucking movie? That is my Christmas movie.
I don't know. I don't know about, I don't know if I give off that vibe. I mean, a little blunt, but okay. Thanks, Janita. I'm kind of a little bit like, it's not very nice.
Don't you know? You know who she's talking about, right? From National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, God, I haven't seen that for years. I mean, I've seen that, but so long ago, I couldn't tell you what happens.
Uncle Eddie is the guy who arrives in his RV, his recreational vehicle, and he parks in Chevy Chase's driveway, and his disgusting, dirty, filthy RV pulls up, and you can just see, like, Chevy Chase is like, oh, Jesus, because this is his brother-in-law. And he gets out with one of those hats with the flaps, you know, that you wear in the cold to cover your ears. He gets out and he goes,
like a hunting
hey,
hat.
Sorry, shitter is full. And he's emptying his RV's shit tank into the main sewage pipe. It's just so gross. He's such a gross man.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that I remind you of that incredibly gross man.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Sorry, Gordon.
Shitter only gets full at the station, and we don't go there anymore. So my days of being scapegoated for that. Days without a toilet blockage.
In the words of Queen Elizabeth I to Sir Francis Drake, I had quite forgot the shit. Now you've just reminded me. So between that and Sia having shat himself, which people remind us of on a daily basis, you just made today a whole lot more interesting, Gordo.
Yeah. Yes. I just would like to say that I pled that it was the toilet and not me. Total coincidence. I've had zero toilet incidents since my last.
Oh.
I'm, bathroom in that goddamn
I'm sorry, plastic. I'm sorry to be annoying to you and to Sia about this, but that has got to be one of the highlights of many people's week or year when it comes to, like, thinking back. I don't even know if it was this year, but on the show, just how funny it was when you were, you reacted to that stuff because you were so furious that people blamed you. Gord was really angry.
I just kept having to use this, like, not working properly toilet, and, like, it's really, it's a shitty experience, and you come out all traumatized, and then you get made fun of about it, like, fix your fucking toilet, mate. Or put a sign on it saying, do not ever poo in this toilet. It blocks 100% of the time. You can wee.
And then it didn't help.
Weeing only. Other bathroom on the third floor.
It didn't help that we got our chain roped into this.
That was what made it a problem for me. I'm like, why is Jane involved in this? And now a couple 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Janita. I'm actually just, I'm quite domesticated, actually.
Well, she says you're like Uncle Eddie from The Shitter Is Full. Anyway.
Just going to empty my shitter, pie.
Yeah, just going to say.
So you had shitty experiences on the show, the bonding experience, don't worry.
Yes, we had these Christmas crackers at Mini Family Christmas. Huh. And I don't know if, I actually need to confirm because I forgot to confirm. I don't know whether they deliberately bought the shittest Christmas crackers ever, if it was meant to be funny or if it was just like, but the one had literally in it like six matchsticks with no match heads on. And then like a piece of instruction as to how to make different shapes. Lay them out in different shapes. I'm like, those are matches that have no match on them.
Oh, no.
Like absolute pieces of shit. Total crap. Do you do Christmas crackers? And if so, do you splurge on the fancier ones?
No, because they're always disappointing. I mean, if you buy Christmas crackers and you think you're going to get something worthwhile, life is going to be full of disappointments for you. Because
they just like end up plastic shit in the ocean.
No, they're horrible.
Yeah, you know what? This is practically the only day I can complain about something like this. But my mother's motto when it comes to decorating for Christmas is more is more. And you'll turn the corner and you discover there's like a new plastic, a tiny little plastic Christmas tree, and you turn another corner, and then there's, and you can tell like sometimes it's just the fact that it's something caught her eye, and that's it. The other day she came back with literally just this gold plastic Christmas tree that she took off a painting off the wall, and then she's hooked that on. And it's like, what is this actually? It's not tinsel. It's not a wreath. It's not, you know, something to go onto the actual Christmas tree. But she, I think, goes tiny bit of a screw loose at this time of the year.
Yeah, but can I tell you something else about Christmas? Is you are allowed to be as kitsch as you want. You're allowed to be as vulgar as you want. You can use, you put as many lights up as you like. There's a street in Pretoria called Lawley Street in Watercliff, which is a fairly expensive neighborhood, but everyone in that street decorates their house to the max. Whether you've got a, you know, they're the embassies, they're people's family homes, there are small houses, there are big houses, but everybody makes a massive effort, and everyone decorates their house, and people drive from all over the place to come and see those decorations. I think my brother and sister-in-law took kids there last night. And it's really pretty. I mean, I think that's so nice that there is a little tradition there of people who do something different for Christmas and something special in their neighborhood. And there's a little bit of competition around me in my neighborhood, so I had to put some lights out, some Christmas lights on the balcony. Just to make
Gord,
sure.
What do you have there?
Yeah, what's going on there, Gord?
No, you're muted.
Gord, what happened to you?
Sorry, I was muted. I got given these custom Christmas baubles by my friend Chris and his wife.
Nice.
And they're from namaste.co.za. I've got a black one that says, Joel eat fuck. Sorry, I'm trying to read backwards while doing a thing in a mirror, basically. And then this one says, Blackie Chan. And it's got a little paw print on it. And they're little black Christmas decorations. So Gord, Joel, Eat, Fuck, and Blackie Chan. It's from my friends at namaste.co.za.
That's cool.
/baubles. You can get custom-made baubles with shit printed on them. So I'm going to get satanic. I'm going to get more made, but evil, more like 10 of them, evil ones. And I'm going to put them up. I also want to make an album.
And I've spoken to a friend of mine who's a very good sound engineer, and he's keen of Christmas covers that are about science and reason. Science and reason and asking good questions, not taking dollars for granted at all. These are some of the books we like best of all. When we read books and ask questions and don't believe shit, we make the world a lot more sensible when we just stop and fucking think for a bit.
I don't know why baubles just sounds good coming out of your mouth.
Fantasy stories from thousands of years back make you sound like you were smoking lots of crack. Don't believe bullshit that's just in a book. I think this, just make like a Michael Bublé-esque Christmas album about like 6,000 years is bullshit, at least 7 billion, possibly longer. So you throw in some originals.
I must be honest with you, I don't know how well this is going to do, Gord. This is not one of your best ideas.
I think it's
going to
be a hit, Gareth.
The Scientific Atheist Christmas album. I'll write it, and I'll get proper singers to sing it. It'll be funny as hell.
Okay, if you say so.
This is all a bunch of bullshit. La 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 la. Sending you to shops to buy shit. La 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 la. Religious shit that's not relevant. La 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 la. That's gonna be lots of fun.
Gord, I'm available on the 12th, the 17th, and the 23rd. Since you said professional singers,
aren't you available in general? I mean, it would be a pity to be young and handsome and single over the festive season.
Let's go to the five things. Why don't we?
Yeah, do you want to hear what's going on in the news headlines? Do you actually
five
give a shit?
Five things you need to know today with Sia Sangweni.
All right. This is the last time I'm going to think about politicians for at least the next 12 days. So here we go. Human Settlements Minister Liniwe Sisulu said that she recognized the suffering residents have had to endure over years with multiple disastrous fires hitting the area of Masipumelele, saying the government would no longer look the other way. Oh, really? What makes this different? You've ignored these people's plight for how long, Liniwe? So why suddenly now? What's the story? Maybe it's just a bit of guilt before Christmas? I don't know. You tell me, honey. She suddenly decided that, you know, it's suddenly unacceptable. Before this it was fine. It, you know, she got a bit upset, but now she's decided it's enough. Enough is enough.
I just want to chime in with the wording. We'll no longer turn our back on. It's like, well, so are you literally admitting that for 25, 30 odd years, the back has been turned on these people and they're numerous, far too many to accept shack fires. We're now going to care. It's like after 5 years of marriage, your girlfriend's like, I care now. So, wife, I care now. So I'm going to stop cheating on you.
So apparently the total project will only cost $200 million, which actually is not a lot of money in government expenditure. If they could have solved the problems of Masipumelele years ago, they probably could have. But there was just no political will. She's promised 2,800 homes will be built over the next 4 months. They will be built of fire-resistant materials and will cost 64,000 rand each. Now, that to me sounds like a good deal. I mean, 64,000 rand, if you can make a whole house out of that, then finally someone in government's doing the right accounting and they're not wasting money. But let's see what happens. I mean, obviously that would be a great Christmas present for the people of that township, because my God, have they had a tough time every year, almost like clockwork, fire, and it spreads around there like wildfire. Obviously, that's where the term comes from. The DA has lost their court bid to have the Garden Route beaches reopened, and I'm not surprised. You know, there's so much fear mongering, and the politicians are all using this opportunity to entrench their own power. But the Democratic Alliance is decided to challenge them, and they lost the court battle on Tuesday. The DA took the matter to court on Monday, arguing government's decision to close the beaches during the festive season would have devastating consequences for the tourism sector. So it's going to have those devastating consequences anyway. So good luck to the people who are dependent on tourism in the Eastern Cape and the Garden Route and the Western Cape. That's obviously very, very bad news for them. And well done to the DA for challenging this. You know, that we give them a lot of shit, but I think it's absolutely necessary that opposition parties challenge the ruling party's decisions in precisely this way. So as much as we criticize them, this is what we want to see them doing.
should put on like a series of jewels in defiance of these rules and call them opposition parties.
Well, funnily enough, someone sent me a video last night of a massive party in a tunnel.
Were there any bears?
No, there were no tunnel bears, but it was in, you know, like a tunnel that you would drive through with your car, yes. You know.
So through a mountain or like under a bridge.
And they've got people blocking both ends so that the cops can't come in. And then everybody inside the tunnel, which is pretty much soundproof if you're not inside the tunnel, is having the time of their lives, partying their tits off in their cars. Car sound systems are delivering the music. Obviously, it's a, you know, it's just a noise, but it looked like people having a time. So I wonder
party that badly?
No, I haven't.
Also, still not like I'm still. I don't necessarily think like limiting big sweaty public. I mean, the drum and bass events where I play, it's like you're just sharing. The air is made of sweat and jaw.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to go and do one of those. So I don't know. I'm a little bit like I see both sides of the argument with shutting down jaws, but like whole industries. People being allowed on the beach, that sort of stuff. Like, there's a difference between putting on a rave in a warehouse and letting people gather in an open air public area that's kind of part of the land. It's part of the unanimous, the mutual heritage of everyone. Like, there's nice beaches there, and you can go to them.
Look, you're not going to get me to come to these things, but I could totally see why people want to party and why they want to do this and why they don't care about government and their rules. But I don't have any interest in doing that myself.
And it adds a thrill.
Do you know of any parties that are going on? Because I was thinking about New Year's Eve and what are we going to do, you know?
I mean, again, I'm not like against there being giant rave parties and concerts and stuff as much as a lot of people in the music industry that I know are struggling as much as anybody else. But there's a line between ridiculously closing and banning everything and like letting what is really silly behavior be allowed. Jeremy said they shut down the Daspoort tunnel between Claremont and Danville in Pretoria. Maybe he's talking about the same draw.
Maybe that's the one. I don't know, but it was just people partying their tits off. It was really cool to see, actually, but I'm very glad I wasn't there. I have no desire to be there, but it was nice to see people having a good time.
Yeah, not being able to jawl. I mean, it's cool if it's a voluntary choice. Sure. But like, I'm enjoying not jawling, therefore everyone else also must. But it's been good for me, like, just break a habit, like, in the go-to rehab sense, but break a habit in that it's like a social habit. It's, where's the jawl next weekend? Cool, let's do that. You just do other things, and it's a bit better. So I think some people have had a nightmare without access to their, like, coping mechanism, booze or whatever. Sure. And other people have actually had a really nice break and realized, like, you know, going for wine and drinks after work every Friday with a different group of friends is a habit more than something that you enjoy.
Yeah. I just hope people can have fun over the holidays now, because if you can't have fun during this time, then you can't have fun full stop. And I think it's an important part of kind of letting loose at the end of the year. And what do you call it? Rectember.
Yeah. But somewhere in between like draconian idiocy and careless idiocy, there's a balance where people should be able to kind of function, and that's the problem. Everything's either completely not allowed or others are going full batshit at it.
All right, well, one other thing that you need to know about this morning, because there are a couple of headlines that we haven't got to yet. The CCMA budget is going to bring the organization to complete standstills, warns a lawyer, because it's too little. They've cut the budgets there. That's the Council for Conciliation, Mediation, and Arbitration. And I know you think, oh, what a boring story, and this doesn't affect me, but wait till it does. Wait till you get taken to the CCMA by either an employee or an employer, or you get fired, which has happened to a lot of people.
Or vice versa, and you take them.
Yeah, correct. Have you ever been there for any reason?
No, I dropped someone off there once and fetched them later.
What a rite of passage.
No. Yeah. So they've done 600 million rands in budget cuts, which could have serious repercussions for the CCMA that was established to ensure the protection and promotion of fair labor rights. It's what you do is you go there before you go to court. So it's a place where you can settle those disputes without having to incur the massive legal costs of going to court. So for many people, you know, where it's over a couple of thousand rand, or it's over, you know, a month's salary or 2 months' salary because you've been fired or because you've been laid off because they've cut your hours or whatever it is, people go to the CCMA to challenge these decisions. And it has...
Now, wait to hear after this, in a couple of months, we'll hear that there's a massive backlog at the CCMA and there's nothing that they can do because budget were cuts and there's not enough staff. It's going to be a shit show.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you can see they're building up to having some excuses for it as well, right?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me. Anyway, I don't know, but I hope they sort that out because it is a fairly important organization in South African labor. And, you know, we need those to work. It's hard enough to employ or to be employed in South Africa at the moment. It's really tough. That relationship between someone who pays you and you who get paid is fractious at best. So let's see if we can figure that out. The organization Undoing Tax Abuse, that's OUTA, said that the former South African Airways director, Dudumieni, has herself to blame for being declared unfit to hold a director position in any entity. Yeah, they've declared her, I love this term, a delinquent director, which means that she cannot be a director on any board of any company. And they've dismissed her request to present new evidence in the case with costs. Wayne Duvenar from the from OUTA said that she needed to realize that her conduct as chair of the SAA board was out of line. Yes, there are consequences to being an idiot. Sorry, Dudu. That's how it works.
Probably doing better than me financially at the moment, though.
Well, she's fine. Don't you worry about her. She's got lots of money. She's got plenty of cash stuck away somewhere, even though she complains.
Boards and side shit.
I know.
Like, you don't do really much, but you've got to meet like every month and like hear the proposals for shit and decide on the shit. I decide. And just ruin everything a little bit, like in an ad presentation. Like, we love your idea. We just need to take out that little scene that makes the punchline make sense. Cool.
You've seen it from the other side, right? And the board is usually this bag of douchebags who this bunch of douchebags who just say no to things. And
yeah, you've got one decision maker whose actual opinion as to yes, no, kind of, but change that matters. Yeah. And then they've got an assistant, a deputy assistant, a junior deputy assistant, and an assistant to the junior deputy assistant, and nine other people that have to come in the meeting and decide whether the person whose opinion matters can hear what they've paid you to do and change things and ruin things. Because if all nine of you sit in the room and go, yeah, this is pretty good. I dig it. Jeff, yeah, dig it. Tandy, fully dig it. Cool guys, we dig it. Then none of you deserve any salary. You didn't do any work if you didn't fucking ruin something or interfere with something. So sending a So basically it's like going into a Michelin star restaurant as people who know you can't cook but are hungry and have money and therefore say, guys, we're hungry, we can't cook, we've got money, let's pay a professional. And then you go in the kitchen, make everything yourself, tell them everything they do is wrong, eat the food, and at the end you say, guys, we paid you 900 rand for this piece of toast with all gold on it. Fuck. Like, they just do it themselves. They pay an ad agency, and then every idea you have just gets ruined. Like, you can tell with some clients, they're just not going to let you make something good from 5 minutes into the first meeting.
And I can tell from this, it's happened to you a couple of times, and you're still
more grumpy. More often than it doesn't happen. Ask people in advertising. More often than not, your client won't let you make good work.
Right, absolutely. So we got your friend Hi Rob joining us just now.
Hi Rob.
Yeah. Hi, Rob, who's actually in South Africa at the moment, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Cape Town. So if you see Hi, Rob wandering around Cape Town, now you know what, you know, he's back from Amsterdam for a little bit. Okay, one more thing that you need to know this morning. What's the last headline? Let me see here. Oh, Vladimir Putin has signed a bill.
Of course.
Who gives presidents lifetime immunity. Surprise, surprise. How do you like that?
Sound like useful bill.
Sound good like bill.
Politician making useful law for change is not some bullshit liberal, everybody get health care. It's fuck you, I'm the president law.
That's a great summary.
That really is what it's
exactly what it is.
Fuck you, I'm the president law.
So Russian President Vladimir Putin on Tuesday signed legislation that will grant former presidents, like him for example, lifetime immunity once they leave office. The bill, which was published online on Tuesday, gives former presidents and their families, he's thrown the family in as well.
Don't be alarmed, but I'm changing the law that says you can't get rid of me, and I'm going to make it so that whatever illegal shit I'm still going to do, I can't get in trouble for. Cool, next on the agenda, tennis rackets and taxation.
And, you know, there are going to be people in this country like Jacob Gedleglegi Zuma who can look at that story and go, why did we not do this? This is perfect. This is what we want. Yeah. I am very, very slow.
Let's make one that says we can break laws.
Correct. They'll also be exempt.
We can break laws. We the presidency of Russia. And if you don't like any of it, then I could put you in jail, you motherfucker. Into a gulag if you dissent, where your feet will get beat and bent. Put work in the snow for life. Shut your fucking mouth or we'll kill your wife.
What a wholesome song.
Oh, that's the greatest. What a great song. I love it.
Hi, Rob.
Can you see me? Hey, what's up, guys?
How you, motherfucker?
See you, man. I get a shudder of fear like I'm about to just become very intoxicated, whether I want to or not.
You have some PTSD, Gord.
A little bit. Rob, you came up in conversation yesterday. I bumped into the guy who heads up Uber in South Africa, and he's been promoted, so he's moving to Amsterdam. So I said to him, oh, I must connect you with a dude who knows Amsterdam like the back of his hand.
Yeah, hit me up.
Actually, the first thing we did with Rob, the very first thing this is the very first thing. Meet us at the main train station, outside the train station at, like, say, whatever, 11 a.m.
Yeah.
So we meet Rob, and he's like, cool, we're going to the Jewel, but are we going to go this way because it's a shortcut? So we walk for like a K, and he's like,
it was going to the red light district, if I remember correctly.
Directions. So not only is it a K from where we started, but it's over. Don't worry, we'll get there. Yeah, Rob doesn't have much of a sense of, but you know,
Yeah. No, we got there eventually, but I was coming off a bender that night, so let's not forget. So we did make it there eventually, and it was a crazy good time.
Good job, yeah.
Do you feel, because you're back in South Africa at the moment, you're back with family for Christmas and all the rest, and you're in Cape Town, do you feel like you've had to scale back on your fun and that you're not in party land anymore because...
No, yes, 100%. But I've been enjoying it. But, like, my body's actually rejuvenated. Dude. I can actually breathe through my nose again. Like, it's feeling good, you know? I'm just able to, like, get up in the morning. And it's like I'm waking up at 7 like a normal human.
You can breathe through your nose. You breathe through your nose again. That's fantastic.
Yeah, first time in, like, 7 months. It's wild.
Because you do gun it quite hard back home. Like, for those people who haven't seen Rob, I'm secure as hell enough to say that he's the most handsome-looking, most beautiful man in the world. But all you do is train and jaw. And it's that, it's that sort of mid-20s energy that, like, you can only sustain for a certain while. So part of me, in my avuncular wisdom, wants to encourage you, like, dude, you got to stop doing that shit because it's...
No,
you're not going to stay pretty doing it forever. But the other part of me wants to go, dude, while you can, go in... Joel, train, bone.
Trust me, I have been living that lifestyle, but honestly, like, coming in, like, I'm 28 now, I'm 29 in March, and I'm really just starting to, like, wind the fuck down. Like, my goals have changed.
Oh, this is very disappointing. Yeah. I'm very sad. I'm so sad to hear this.
I'm just glad he's alive. Go on living, Rob.
No, I can still bend it to the best of them, trust me. Like, 2 glasses of rosé in, and we can end up in a 7 a.m. easily. But I don't consciously go for that. So now I'm more like, okay, I actually want to do something with my life. But, you know, this year has been such a shit show. And, like, year, I don't know. I just honestly don't know what's going to happen next year. Like, just when you thought everything was cool, they come with this hectic variant virus. And, like, you just don't know. So now I'm with the mindset, how do you plan anything? How do you set goals? How do you have any sort of, like, aspirations? You know, it's just a fuck show.
It really
and
is.
And you've also had a hard year, though, Rob.
I can't even go home now. From the people that I told you, and I know some people in Amsterdam who know people, blah, blah, how it goes. But, like, through the grapevine, they're going to suspend flights for, first of all, it's now till the 1st of Jan. But know the Netherlands, they will extend that for as long as possible because they don't want people coming in. The Netherlands was cool in the beginning. Now they've become like a nanny state. They've shut down everything. You can't even get to
My homie Wayne got detained in Germany airport, in Frankfurt airport in Germany, rather.
Germany airport in Frankfurt.
And,
nice one, Gordo.
South African living and working legally in Manchester and went to Germany for a visit. I don't know why, whatever, but was visiting Germany. Mm-hmm. Got would not be allowed into Germany once they got there. And then for some reason, they got sent back to South Africa. But he sent a video clip, like they were being screamed at by the police and they wouldn't speak to them in English. Like Germans, in my experience, are nice and polite and helpful and quite civil and calm. These cops were like being mega aggressive.
Everyone is losing their minds, dude. It's, well, only certain people. I don't really give a shit, to be honest. But like, I mean, I say that and I didn't give a shit about this thing, but I'm just hearing about more and more people getting this thing. I mean, not like dying or anything, but just catching it and like, okay, yeah, fine. But I mean, I still don't care. Like I still, you know, live my life, la vida, but it's just making people like weird, dude. Like people don't want to meet up. I've got mates who like don't want to do anything because they're like, yo, bro, I've heard like people catching it, so I can't meet you at the bar. I'm like, what's happening to the world, dude?
I know exactly what you mean.
Go ahead, Gareth. I was going to say I would do the same thing, but I would be like, look, come have a steak at me and we'll catch up properly.
Yeah.
If we're in the same city, obviously. Otherwise, it's a moot point. But like, I don't want to, in order to socialize with my friends, which I'm happy to do, I'm not never seeing anybody like early lockdown, but I'm not going to go to a friend's braai where there's 10 people. I know 4 of them. And that's like a cool part of socializing. So kind of if you're single, it's sort of how you get laid. If you're not on apps about it, you go to Jaws where you meet your friend's friends and get introduced. But that's the thing. It's like, cool. I'm happy to see the 4 of you, but I'm not going to do it where the other 7 people in the small house are strangers to me. I'm not trying to make new friends, but I will still socialize with my old friends.
Yeah, I get it, man. I just can't see it that way. I just don't see it. Like, it's weird. Like, I can't accept it. Dude. I just can't. It's just so weird.
I have to say, like, I'm in a similar position to Rob. I'm not completely okay with this yet. And I know that there are people like you, Gord, who've come to terms with it and you take it a lot.
I'm not saying I'm 100% okay with it. There's like pros and cons. There's a balance. Don't never see your friends,
dude.
But don't necessarily go see them in a full nightclub if that's when you're going to see them.
I think you've taken COVID though a little more seriously than me. I mean, I'm more than happy to admit that.
But not as serious as a lot of people though. I'm not a COVID COVID Karen.
No. No, you're not one of those.
As long as you don't wear your mask when you drive a car, dude, please don't be one of those people.
It's like wanking with a condom on.
That's ridiculous.
Honestly, Carl, I'll just unfriend you if I see you like get in a car and you put your mask on. I get straight out. And I'm out.
What a bunch of morons.
The friendship cancels.
No, but if you're on your own, like if you're an Uber driver or...
Dude, I was looking on my phone and you know, in this new, it actually annoys me, but you know, like the new iOS, if you go back and then it'll show pictures from like years ago or something, just in your little like search screen.
Yeah.
There's a picture of me and my mates at this big festival. And I actually almost brought a tear to my eye because I honestly don't know when that space will ever happen again. Like, as in, I don't think it's going to happen this next year. I don't think they're just going to be, oh, vaccines out, click your fingers, and now they're going to have like a festival. I think, you know what's going to happen? Someone with the vaccine is going to catch corona, or something's going to happen. It's like, oh, so you basically can still get it with the vaccine, which means the vaccine's bullshit, and then they're going to get all like nanny state, and then it's just going to be like this for another fucking year.
Here's the thing that irritates me. Apparently with this vaccine, they're not exactly saying that you're immune, even though they should be saying that, because that would be a reason to get it. If you wanted people like me to get it, you just have to say, all right, once you've had this, you don't have to mask up, you're totally immune, you can't pass it on to anybody. Otherwise, what's the point of a vaccine? I mean, I'm not walking around passing smallpox on to other people because I got the vaccine when I was a kid. That's how vaccines are meant to work.
So then why bother getting it?
Exactly. You aren't going to be immune. That's my point. So if we're not going to be immune and we're not going to be able to carry on with our lives as normal, I don't see the point of having the vaccine.
But isn't it so, like, even if you get the vaccine, you still have to wear a mask and you still have to do all that stupid shit?
They still want you to do the stupid shit. Exactly.
But like, one of the main issues with this particular illness is not like how severe or fatal it is, it's how very contagious it is. So even if you've got 75 or 80% of people becoming non-contagious or way less contagious, then it has the opportunity for the virus to like subside because, you know, people are not just passing it on before they're aware they're even sick. That's like the main thing about this virus. It's not mega dangerous. It's not mega anything. It's very contagious.
And herd immunity. Herd immunity.
And that's why if the virus is not 100% effective, if you got the virus and then 6 months later got COVID, you'd be pretty pissed off, especially if it's bad. But like, if the other 9 out of the 10 people in your group don't, it's going to spread a lot slower. I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm not saying
Why can't they just say, dude, Cord, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. There's no point. You're going to get it. Just shut the fuck up. Take your fucking mask off. You're going to get this thing. There's like 10 different strains of it. So no matter if you get it, you're probably going to get it again.
Right.
So just shut the fuck up and live your life. How about that? And like, everyone's going to get it. And once everyone's going to get it, yes, the weak will die and we don't have enough hospitals. But so you could fall down on the stairs and die.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of fucking thank you on. Very much. You could.
Seriously. Robert, please be the president's scriptwriter. Yeah, I think that would be
Robert,
it will go down as one of the best speeches in history. Like,
imagine
president. I had Robert in charge of me for one day and it would nearly fucking kill me.
President.
I almost got cancelled. The lesbians of the Netherlands hate me and I was just with Rob.
Imagine
you were just done by association with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine President High Rob. Jesus, that would be something here.
I would actually do a pretty good job.
Innovated Robert.
Yeah. What would the innovator?
Yeah.
Innovated Robert.
You reckon you'd do a good job?
My campaign name would be Get Fucked. And then it'd basically be anyone who wants to whine about things. I'll just give them COVID. I'll just be like, that's your punishment. I'm going to cough
like
on you.
Like a paintball gun with COVID pills.
And we see you either survive or you don't. No ventilators, pal. You on your own, dog. That's like maybe a panado.
You might lose your mad gourd to the strategy, but it would be worth it after the cleansing.
No, you wouldn't break any rules, pal. You would be making the literature. That's what your job would be, pal. And you'd be in some super halo with like unlimited hookers and blow and you'll be fine.
I like that. That sounds like a really good mate to kind of look after you, Gordo, make sure that you've got everything you need there. So Rob, what are your plans for the holidays? What are you up to?
Well, I mean, I've already had like a little holiday with the family and I've really been enjoying it. Went to like a game reserve. I was in Plett. We did like a whole lot of, I was living my best life. Just a lot of outdoor activities, really just enjoying it, but nothing, dude, no partying. I went out in Plett, which usually this time of the year is like cranking. Utterly disappointed, dude. I'm disappointed when I go out and say like, let's pick a good restaurant for the food. That's when you know that the world is on its fucking head.
Were you interested in a restaurant for the food?
High Rob was like, do they serve good steaks there? Instead of like, how much are tequila shots and like, where's a dealer? That's when you fucking know, dude. There's a problem with the world when I'm looking for good food on a night out. It was a Friday night, and I was like, where can I get the best food so I can be in bed by 10? Dude, my something wrong with you. I was like, yes. The world's on its head, dude. Seriously.
All right, listen, we've got to take a quick break for the 7 o'clock, and then we're going to come back. So Rob's going to stick around with us. Can you hang around until 7:30?
Yeah, no worries.
All right, done. Brilliant. Gord is here. Hi, Rob's here. Sia's here, and I'm here. We're all here to look after you this morning. CliffCentral.com. It is the day before Christmas Eve and our last show of the year. You got any new tattoos there? It looks like you got some new ones.
Yeah, I got this one when I was down here recently, and I've planned for a few more because it's so much cheaper here. Like,
just
really.
Just take that tiny garment off and show us what's happening on your chest, Rob.
Come on.
Me.
It's not a strip show.
Oh, yes, yeah. You see? Now, don't tell me that you're not glad I asked.
Yeah.
So what is it? Yeah. Is that an hourglass?
It's an hourglass with wings on it, you know, because time flies.
She should have had an oak with a stopwatch and two flies.
Unless you're a 10 out of 10 asking me, like, it's just, I did it for the artwork. Don't give me some bullshit backstory, like, you know, my dog died in June and she flew up to heaven. Shut the fuck up.
All right. Gord, do you want to tell us about this song?
Oh, yeah, man, this is a very cool song. It's an old song. It's 10 years old, but I just discovered it recently. My friend Megan played it for me. It's called Vlad the Impaler by Kasabian. It's just a rocking tune. And in the video, Noel Fielding plays a vampire, which is always
shout out to Blind History. That was a fucking good episode.
Vlad the Impaler, very good. But it's not very Christmassy, Gord, so I'm going to play this.
It's to set the tone for Rectember, but that's cool.
All right, we may just play something Christmassy as well, and then we'll be back with Hi Rob and Gord and you in a minute, Cliff Central. CliffCentral.com. Stick around.
CliffCentral. Dot com.